Welcome to the OA Virtual Kitchen Sink Meeting Podcast. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live and how to donate to support this meeting and our podcasts. The opinions expressed on the Kitchen Sink Podcast are those of the individual speakers and do not represent OA as a whole. And now, our speaker.
My name is John, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and it's good to be here today. And I want to say, when I share in a Zoom meeting or even in person in OA, I'm going to get here and go right into stuff. Because of how I think I look on the screen, I'm still a fairly big guy, even though there's been a dramatic difference from when I came to OA in weight. But what I think of myself, I think I could weigh 100 pounds and I'd still think I'm a big guy. And then I see myself on the screen and there's still room for movement. And I think maybe I'm messing up in the program. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm not really doing OA. But it's a lie, because I come in here and I get introduced to you guys and I'll get right into that. For me, what happened is I had been involved in other 12-step programs since 97, a long time, and had success there, but never looked at this. The food. And when I started coming to OA in 2019, I was fortunate there were some active people in the meetings, and they kind of grabbed me up. And there's a gentleman visiting from out of town. It was all ladies at this meeting for the first few weeks or so, which is wonderful. But I'm a big guy, self-conscious, happily married, but still care what other people, what the ladies think I look like in the chair in the middle of the room. And so I wasn't real open to talking and getting to know people. And there was somebody in that room doing 12-step work. And he showed up. This guy comes from Colorado visiting his kids. And he talked to me after the meeting. And the other people were very inviting and trying to include me. I just was scared to death, And so, and this guy got right into about how important sponsorship was. I wasn't unaware that sponsorship was important because of the rest of my life. But addressing this stuff, the scary stuff, the stuff I was unwilling to look at before just a few years back. But it kept coming up on 4 steps, quite frankly. And my other sponsor didn't have this problem, didn't know what to do with it. Anyway, so this guy grabs me up and I remember after the meetings, he would take me for walks. And I got to tell you, I was pretty immobile back then. I could get from my house to my desk at work and from my desk at work back to my house. And that was the extent of my exercise and physical activity, And so he would take me for walks after the OA meetings, and we'd just walk a little bit around the parking lot. And that was the start of my journey of just doing something I hadn't been doing in a long time. But the whole time he's talking about the steps and what we do and the powerlessness over the food and what that looked like for him. And for me, what that means is that I don't have a power of choice when it comes to certain foods, sugars, flours. Everybody has a different choice, but for me, the basics, I go with that. And so those things I had to cut out of my food right out of the gate before I even got into an actual food plan, which I have now. I work a solid plan with my sponsor. I let him know what's going on. I check in daily for some other stuff too, even after a number of years. I still do that as part of my responsibility and commitment. It helps keep me on track when I'm having a John overthinking or trying to come up with an excuse why it's okay to not follow the plan. I know I'm going to make that call to my sponsor. And so it helps me. Does that make sense? This guy started walking me around the park and I started talking right away about step work and the powerlessness and the unmanageability. And that's the part that's been probably the most important in many ways for me, is looking at that, how my life is unmanageable, because the way I look at myself, I'm not real self-confident. I don't feel real at ease and comfort. I'm always kind of on edge, and I want to use food to fix it, but food doesn't work anymore. It hasn't worked for a long time. I'm so mad at myself for that action of putting food in and what it is that I'm not even enjoying anymore for years, quite frankly, than when I look back now, and so I come in here and start doing the step work, and he starts talking about, making a decision, that second step, make a decision to turn your will, your life over to the care of God as you understood him. I'm like, I think, and in my mindset, I got to figure all that out first. I have to have the decision in place, to have to know all this stuff before I can move forward, and I want to stall out. That's not what my sponsor says. He says, John, it's going to be a process. It says, came to believe. And if you keep going through the rest of the steps in this process, your belief is sure to come. So don't hold yourself up on stuck on figuring out what God is or is not, or higher power is or is not. Just do the rest of the work, your belief is sure to come. And I'm glad he gave me that gift, because I would have sat in doing nothing, thinking, contemplating, considering with no action for indefinitely had he not done that. And then that decision and the third step I can make all throughout the day, any day. That's what I was told, you know. And that was simple things like showing back up at the meeting, being willing to walk around the parking lot, making appointments and getting face to face with people, getting into meetings, to, you know, things I hadn't been doing around this, around, you know, my compulsive overeating. And so I get to make that decision at any point of the day, at any point of the moment. I can make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, or, you know, my higher power, whatever your higher power is or is not. And I know, again, I had done many four steps. The big book says annual or semi-annual house cleanings, just a real brief statement in there. So it doesn't say one four step ever. It says annual or semi-annual house cleanings. And that's what I've been doing since, like I said, the late 90s, but not around my relationship with food until just these last number of years here. And so it was very enlightening to really make that the focus, how much it really affects my life. Because I don't think of, I'm not probably going to jail. I'm probably not getting kicked out of my house overeating, right? But I feel terrible about it, and it does affect my family. And the way I know that for sure, just a quick little story-ish about the importance of the, how I can't see how it's affecting others, how unmanageable my life is in my own thinking, but around others, is that my sponsor in the other 12-step program, and was on my, I told him my weight, I can't do it. We don't need to talk numbers. It's a big number, right, that I was at these few years ago. This gentleman said to me, John, I don't think you're going to live another 5 years if you don't do something about your weight. I think you're dead within 5 years. And I was, that hurt. I'm like, what? How can you say something like that to me? That's so mean, right? That's so hurtful. But he was just telling me the truth. You know, I'm barely walking. I'm barely moving. I'm not mobile. At that time I was 50 years old, so I'm not that old yet, you know? He said, why don't you go ask your wife? And I was like, I mean, I don't talk to my wife about my eating habits. I know she complains about how everything in the house is gone that we bought for myself and the kids and the rest of the family. And you know, before she'll go shopping, oh, geez, you didn't leave any for us. Those kind of statements were happening around the house. But that was the extent of the discussion, right? But to come home and say to her, Denise, my sponsor thinks if I don't do something about my overeating, that I'll probably be dead within 5 years. And she started crying. She goes, John, I don't think you're going to make it 5 years either. I don't know how to say things like that to you. And it was a real eye opener about how I affect others. I'm not the only one affected by this. My family's watching me, you know, kill myself behind food. I'm not thinking it's a big deal because the job's going okay. I mean, as long as I can get to my desk, I can't see the gravity of the situation. So doing that four step really let me take a look at when I asked for some guidance and took some time to really get the pen moving on the paper, not just thinking about it, but moving the pen on the paper. I got to really take a good look at how I was not only, you know, resentments mostly towards myself around the food, quite frankly, but the fear of what life looked like without it. My kind of one of the last little vices that I was recognizing, you know. So it was really important to get that down on paper and share it with someone in the fifth step, honestly, about how this is really affecting life. Because I don't want to see it. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to know that, you know, have an appearance I want to have for everyone. And so so I did that fifth step with my sponsor. And I remember, again, my first fifth step ever back many years ago around my other issues was very profound. Like I remember going, a moment, just the sense that everything was okay and I'd been truly honest with someone. And I had that feeling now, but it wasn't quite as overwhelming because I've done many fifth steps. But it certainly was huge to be around this subject. The food, how it's affecting my life, my attitude and outlook on life. And Deb mentioned this when she was talking, and I want to bring this up, is when I can now go to my meal, eat my plan, and then I leave the meal, I'm done. And I'm not thinking about food the rest of the day till it's time to prepare the next meal. What a relief. I never thought that was possible. I didn't even realize how inundated my life was with the thought of food. It was all day, every day. When I'm heading towards the kitchen, I'm thinking about, do I stop by the cabinet or is anybody going to be watching if I, at work? We had a snack cabinet in the kitchen at work. Who's watching me go in? Are they going to think I'm going in there? Were they consumed by what I'm going to eat next, how I'm going to get the food sneaky, who's watching and paying attention, how's my stomach going to feel when I eat too much of that, constant. And for that to be gone through this, and that came kind of early in my step work after doing my fifth and getting into the step, that relief of just food when it's time to eat is when I discuss it. Traveling. We're traveling. I'm not thinking about where we're going to the next restaurant all day. I'm enjoying the view from the room of the ocean, not what happens when lunch gets here. Am I gonna mess up my meal? A lot of huge freedom in that was the start, that obsession being removed, you know? And so 6 and 7, though, I got to start looking at what is the character defects and shortcomings? How am I acting? Am I kind, loving, patient, tolerant, and gentle? Am I not? Am I kind of selfish and self-centered? Heck yeah, most of the time. But I can look for those things now and ask for help. And 6 and 7, I think, can be very overlooked, the importance of character defects and shortcomings, because that is who I am and how I am. And I've been that way, these ways, my whole life. And if I'm not willing to really slow down and take a look at what those things might be, where I take a look at that, I'm probably missing, for me, one of the very most important parts of this program. Because just because I've eaten the food I said I was going to eat that day and not obsessed with the food all day doesn't mean that I'm treating people the way they deserve to be treated, putting in a good day at work, paying attention to my spiritual condition, all those other things that I also need to be doing. And the 12 steps, that was a huge gift to not just be removing the thing that was giving me the problem, but actually be living differently and having different relationships with people and the way I interact. And that doesn't mean I'm not still really self-conscious about the way I look, that it's not real important for people to say just the right thing so people think I'm a nice guy or whatever, because I'm in, you know, but it's not nearly as pronounced. These talking like this to you people in this meeting was learned through doing 12-step work. Because if you would have met me before 12-step work, I'm the guy in the corner staring at the ground, looking at the ceiling, anything to not make any eye contact, anything to not have a conversation, smiling just enough to get you to move on past me so we don't have to interact at all, very separated from the world, you know. And now I can walk into, I mean, I still don't love crowds, but I can function fine in a crowd and have a conversation and do what we're doing now, talking about this. But a lot of that came from looking at character defects and shortcomings and asking God to help me with that stuff. You know, that all self-consumed person. And then steps 8 and 8 is a list straight off of step 4. It is not complicated. Please don't overcomplicate it. It's a list. My sponsor gave me good advice, said make a now, later, never list in that 8th step. Make it who you want to make amends to now, who later, and who never. He said, however, we'll be moving those ones from the never list over towards the later and now. They'll be moving that direction, but don't overwhelm with it. Just get started, you know. And we did spend some time talking before I made amends. I thought that was really important because me in my own head figuring out what to say, I'm going to go make an apology and hope they like me now, right? Or that the heat's off. And that's not really what an amends is for. An amends is an honest desire to set right the mistake. And they are very different things. Apologizing, I did that hundreds of thousands of times, no telling, all the time. But to actually, an honest desire to set right the mistake, to stick to the food plan because I said I would, to not tell my wife I swear I'm going to eat better and then she watches me not do that, for example, we'll start with the food, or to promise to participate. Right now we went for a walk around the city yesterday. Well, when we were vacationing years past, I didn't do that. I would drive and sit in the car while my family went for the walks because I can't do it. I walk a few feet, my back hurts, my knees hurt, I'm sweating, I'm out of breath, I can't do it. So vacation looked like me being the transporter while my family vacationed. And that is not true anymore in this last, you know, couple of years. I'm able to go do the things. Not everything, it gets better all the time, you know. And so where am I going with that? So the ninth step is about living amends, living differently than I was with my family for the most part with this stuff. And the 10th step, doing that daily review, that's something I've been doing for a long, long time, where every night I review my day and I'll do a little bit of writing. And it's simple, how, you know, reflect on the day. I ask myself those questions in the big book that it says to ask. When we retire at night, we constructively, not destructively, constructively review our day. And I do that. And it's not real deep and 50 pages of writing, but I do take a moment to stop and pause and see if there's anything that I made too big of a mess of, you know, and that I need to go back and ask for you know anything to do there.
Excuse me, you have about
11.
5 minutes left.
Oh, thank you for that. I was just starting to look for a way to see that. My screen's so small. Now I see the timer. Okay. So in the 11th step, this one is an ongoing thing for me, and I'm glad that my sponsor left it open to it's your, you know, prayer meditation has as many different ways to do it as there are people that do it, kind of. And they're and having a spiritual awakening. There's as many different spiritual awakenings as there are people who have had them. And I'm glad that was shared with me because it was if there was a specific way to pray or meditate only one way, I don't think I would do it, or I don't think I would have made it. What my sponsor did was suggested readings, mostly, you know, supported by AA started, and then I've adventured out over time. But I started with the AA approved literature. It's solid. It works well. Don't change the program. Right, I want to say it because this group I know it's important to, and it's been important to me. And now I look for other ways too. But I do prayer meditation every day, and I've tried different routines, and I mix it up, but I don't skip it. I'll either listen to some affirmations, or I do read the way On Awakening in the Big Book every day for all my years in 12 steps. Every morning I read On Awakening, what we're supposed to do in the Big Book, page 86 through 88, whatever. I suck at quoting pages, but I recommend that. And then I do some kind of prayer or meditation. Changes all the time. I used to last 2 or 3 minutes was max, and my mind would be all over the place when I started. Now it's graduated up to a longer amount of time for me, and my family knows I need that. So even vacationing, that's how I start my day here. I go out on the patio. My wife knows that's the time to do that first, and I'm going to be a much easier to get along with, easier going, involved with the family and life, as long as I start my day with those things in the 11th step. So I really suggest the work on that. As much as I want stuff to be real easy and not have to work at it, and prayer meditation does take some ongoing work, I just do it. And the 12th step, what we're doing now, I've sponsored many people over the years in another program. This one I'm offering and having some communication. I'm learning that part. Being a service in groups, showing up and doing, keeping the commitments. 12 step, hugely important to put in my life. Being around you guys in the Zoom, try to get to some face to face too, because shaking hands and true eye contact and human interaction is really important for me. Because I could disappear into Zoom and never leave my house, and that's a dangerous place for me to be. I've got to get out to some face to face ones as best I can. Whatever that looks like. There's not a lot in my area, so I don't do a lot of those, but I do some. You know, and try and shake hands with a new person. If somebody looks sad or scared or not a part of, I try and get, you know, take a minute to go help them feel welcome in our group, because that's what was done for me and it saved my life. Had I been felt shunned or different or not, nobody even looked at me or offered to shake my hand, I don't think I'd have went back to the meetings. But people were not like that. They were very inviting and welcoming. So 12-step work, continued work, hugely important. And I'm gonna wrap with that. How are we doing? We're pretty close to the 9:30 mark, right?
You've got a minute and 50 seconds.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I'll end with this. I'm so glad that I didn't just figure out on my own. I would have told you before, if I could have found the right diet, got to the right weight, and went on with life, that would have been enough for me. I don't believe that to be true for me now. I'm so glad the 12 steps show me how to live an entirely different life and interact with other people on a different way. So the eating better and the weight for me slowly coming off over time, but it's still coming off. It's not going up, it's coming down, just not at the pace I always think it should. It's okay because my interactions with my family, with my loved ones, with the people in my life have increased dramatically. My relationships are so much stronger and healthier, and I'm so much more okay with who I am and how I am because of the 12 steps. And that was not going to happen by dieting alone. I needed a spiritual program of action. I needed the 12 steps. So please don't leave because you dropped a few pounds. Stick around, take the advantages that are available to us through this 12-step program. It's an amazing life with this included in it. I got to tell you, or this leading it, not even included in it, leading my life. Fantastic. Anyway, that's what I got. This is the time for questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leader are my own and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. If you asked a question last week, please wait until the first three questions have been asked before raising your hand. And if you have a question, please click the raise your hand icon. All right, Bob, you're up.
Thank you very much for your share. That was phenomenal. Thank you. So what brought you, what made you, at what point did you decide that this was an issue you had to really address? I know you kind of touched on it, but it's that big transition of coming in, you know, to the room.
That's a good question. Thank you for that, Bob. And again, I know I'm out of respect for the group. I'm trying not to talk too much about my other 12-step program, but it's important to know that I stopped drinking and using drugs in 1997 and got active in 12 steps with that. But I've been heavy since grade school. I mean, I've been heavy since like elementary school, you know, a chunky kid. And I just, I could not or would not. I just thought at some point you'll be willing to do this, John. And at some point just never came, right? And then what would happen is I'm doing these ongoing fourth and fifth steps with and living life. And I'm just a little bit still not real comfortable. I'm thinking, man, I've been sober all these years, and we've raised these kids in a sober household, and they're doing well, and I've had a great career, and I'm retired already at a young age because everything went so well, and this fantastic life, but I'm still not really okay. I'm still kind of restless, irritable, and discontent. So, and that's when it kind of, and what was coming up was that I don't like the way I look or feel physically. I'm too big. I'm sneaking the food. There's this lie going on in my life when I have this open, honest relationship with my wife and kids, but I'm sneaking at 2 a.m. for more food. You know what I'm saying? So, and it just kind of hit me through ongoing 12-step work that, John, you're never going to be truly free of your addiction, period, because addiction is addiction. You're never going to be free if you don't address this too. And when I came up in my 4-step again, my sponsor said the same thing. He goes, John, you got to address this. You need to go. My AA sponsor said, go to OA. You need to go to OA because they're going to understand it. I don't have that problem, so I don't get it. You know, my sponsor would say, stay off the cookies, dude, and you'll be fine. I needed more than that because my relationship with food and my entire attitude and outlook on life in my head was based around that. But I just thank goodness the 12 steps were already in play for me to be willing to take a different look, because otherwise I'd have kept saying, next month I'll start eating different. Next month I'll cut back on the food. Tomorrow I won't eat the whole bag of chips. Or I'm going to start walking. I'll finally start getting some exercise. And I just wasn't willing to do anything for my health, not really, until I really did the 12-step work around it and got on paper. And thank God I knew the 12 steps existed and had worked well in other ways. Anyone who's come in and you haven't had any 12-step experience yet, please stick around long enough to go through the whole process and get relief. And then, so again, it took me forever to be willing to look that I was not going to fix this one on my own either, that this was as big, probably bigger problem for longer, really bigger problem for longer than my other problem was. Because I got sober at 29 from the other stuff. Now I'm 55. So literally half of my, you know, twice as long I've had this issue. I don't know if that answers, but yeah. It really came with, I just was not okay with myself. As much 12-step work as I did, not looking at this was killing me. Yeah. And it was a moment of clarity, Bob. Yeah. So let's see. I can't tell who came up first, so don't get offended if I don't know that. I'm going to go with Rebecca, though, because I think that one.
Thank you, John. I'm Rebecca, and I am powerless over food, and really glad to be here. So you mentioned a food plan. You said, but I'm not going to get into it. I'm someone who came into OA in LA in my 20s, have been in and out of the rooms. Back then, three meals a day, nothing in between, no sugar. That did it. That did it for me. I had all the promises. I worked the steps. Can't do that now. I'm back today. It's my first meeting in a year or two. Totally powerless. I would just like to hear about food plan. I'm feeling willing to do that. And I also just want to say, if there's anyone available to sponsor, I've got the brown book. I really need to work the steps, but I'd love to hear, please, about just food plan, your willingness, because there's a lot of foods I can't eat. I know it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you're here, Rebecca. For me, what food plan meant was, first, I for me, I had to give up sugar because that was my favorite thing. I'm going to eat a whole box of Ho-Hos, not one. You know what I mean? Not to name too many foods. I won't get into the rest, but, and that just was a clear. And then for me, the white flour thing, flour. So I don't eat any bread of any kind, really. I mean, there's some Ezekiel thing out there. Anyway, I really stay away from that. But to just figure it out and do it and white knuckle and hold on and beg myself not to have the bread when I put it on the table at the restaurant or try and pay attention to not getting the food that I know is going to have some sugar-filled gravy on top or whatever, you know, that is not so easy, Rebecca. And that's why I needed the 12-step work actively on my life, because otherwise all I'm really doing is dieting and trying to control and enjoy my food. And I had to give up the idea that I was ever going to control and enjoy my food. So my food plan is not a diet. My food plan is ones that I found through experience, hit and miss back and forth, through experience to not drive that physical craving in play, where the craving kicks in and then I'm going to eat it, even begging myself not to. Because it's a horrible day when I'm begging myself not to eat something and I'm doing it anyway, right? But it does take the first step, talking about it, like you're doing, Rebecca, and then choosing the ones that I know are whoppers. I mean, I know that if I go to certain foods, I'm going to have way too much. For me, it's darn near anything, quite frankly. But if I start with those, the craving is on, and I'm going to have, if I'm reduced to apples, I'll eat three of them because I started with the chips and the chips are gone. Does that make sense? So I had to pick those few and really give them up. But not so easy. It meant talking about it every day to somebody. It was important to me to, as humbling and humiliating almost as it was, to call up another person in program and tell them what I ate, honestly, be honest. Because early on, I had to say, I didn't eat everything I was supposed to today. I did have one of those things not on plan. And I had to go, and it was hard to keep coming back and keep bringing it up. And I'm glad you're doing that, Rebecca. But at some point I had to, again, for me today, a moment of clarity, and I wake up and pray and ask God to help keep that removed. And then I ask my higher power again before every meal what I should or shouldn't be doing. But it's a process. I can't forget about it and get lazy about it. I've got to stay busy in the 12 steps. As goofy as it sounds to me that doing 12-step work keeps me from overeating, it does. It's a gift. But I'm glad I didn't give up when I first was coming around or all these times. I'm glad I didn't give up on this. Does that make sense? So please don't, Rebecca. Find someone to call and check in, maybe even every meal. Maybe I call before every meal and explain what's on my plate that I'm about to eat. There's people available for that, you know, just until my higher power kicks in and removes it. Let the people help. Okay. All right. Okay. I think Frank was next.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Frank, a very grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. I'm going to pull over here. Sorry. Thank you so much for your share. Very powerful. I like the simplicity of it, the clearness, and how you really elucidated the 12 steps in a way that I can understand it. I'm blessed to, it's over a little over 3 years. I've been abstinent, and I'm blessed that I understand the concept of food neutrality. It's not an issue. I wish it were the same with the scale. I still pay way much too much more attention to it on a weekly basis. And, you know, just even thinking of the idea of in a month, weighing myself once a month is almost like how hard it was to give up my second snack, which I did finally. But I'd like to ask and talk to you about character defects. It's all about the program now and being the best version of myself. Patience is a big one for me, and still progress, but a lot of way to go. Finally, the question, sorry about that, everybody. What character defects are you surprised that your program has released, and which, if any, are remaining that you're wondering if you'll ever be able to lessen them or be rid of them? Thank you.
I appreciate that question. And that is not an easy one to answer because it's my own mind doing what my mind does. And then it's my own mind trying to figure out an answer to that most of the time, unless I can open up to the higher power thing. And I do have that happen. But so the glaring character defects of giving real attitude around the meal, like when my wife says, are you really having seconds? That's not happening right now, but it was early, you know, giving up, how could that? how to look for character defects is almost a bigger thing than what they are, because they're kind of harder to see when it comes around food. You know, it's much easier for me to relate to this when you talk about alcohol and drugs, because I was a train wreck. I'm on my way to prison type stuff back then, but that's not where I was when I came to Overeaters Anonymous, right? So, here's what it is. Look often, Frank. Look often and be willing to ask, God, is there anything that I could do differently today? Maybe those 10-step questions at night, don't wait till night to do it. Do it noon. Do it. Pull that book out anytime and ask myself those questions about how I'm treating others, how I'm living when retirement. Constructively review, we were resentful towards people for no reason, you know, and it just starts to come. And I can't describe how or why, quite frankly, but it just does if I ask. If I'm willing to say, what can I see? Please show me where I can be different today or be more loving, kind, gentle, patient. And so what happens over time is they just kind of come, Frank. Helps me to put the pen on the paper, if I'm willing to do that, by the way. That's a big one. Asking my own self, I will think right past it. I'm on to the next thing. I'm looking at the next turn on my bike ride. I love it, Frank. You know what I mean? I'll ask the question of what can I be looking at today? Then I'm off onto the next thing, right? But if I pause and do some writing about it, ask those questions, it can really help. The big ones, but the one I think is never going away for me, I'm sure, selfish and self-centered. I like things the way I like them. I like people to the way I act the way I think they should act. I like situations to come out the way I think they should come out, right? And that's in every minute of every day that's in the background for me. I don't think it will ever be gone, but it's lessened. It doesn't have to be paralyzing. I don't have to be, my God, that sale didn't happen on that phone call. That's it. My day's over and I shut down for the day. I can pause, ask my higher person, and move on to the next thing. But I don't believe I will ever not be selfish and self-centered deep down. But I do not have to express myself in ways that hurt others through that. Does that make, you know, and I got to ask for help with it. Be willing to see it or I won't even recognize it. You know? So anyway, let's see.
We've got about 5.5 minutes left for Q&A.
Okay. Bianca.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's Bianca. You're right. It's Bianca.
Is it Bianca? Okay. All right.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for your share. I'm wondering if you can talk about your higher power, like your conception of your higher power and how you made it big enough to be willing to turn your will and your life over.
I'll do my best, Bianca. This is a hard one for me. I think it's a real personal journey for everyone. And I would never want to speak so specific about mine that it's the only one, because it's not. Everybody has their own, and that's what I needed to know. I needed to know it's my perception of what that is, and that it's then I'm going to come to believe, and the process is going to change, right? And then hold on, ask me the question one more time, Bianca. I got to share.
Just, I'm wondering about your higher power and how you came to believe in something that you were willing to turn your will and your life over to.
Okay. That really started with just trusting another person who was doing 12-step work. It didn't really start for me with knowing there is a higher power or what it looked like for me, because I didn't grow up in a house that went to church, or I don't think we owned a Bible for that kind of religious. I just had no experience with anything like that. Never entered my mind, except the emergency, oh God, don't let me get arrested tonight. But that's not a relationship, right? And or oh God, don't let me eat the rest of this box of cookies today, whatever it was. So my relationship with my higher power came with trusting you guys in the trust program that came before me, that you had something going on for you that had changed things. And my first experience that the higher power thing was working was when I did my first fifth step, and I kind of right after doing it, I'm doing that reflection. It says an hour of reflection in the big book. And I kind of had this moment, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Instead of that constant panic, fear, and tension, I thought everything is going to be all right. And that came from somewhere. I didn't figure out how to be okay. It was gifted to me in that moment. Does that make sense? And it comes and goes. And then to not be initially started with me, the drinking and the other stuff, for that obsession to be removed. And now with the food, the obsession's removed. It is a very, when I step back and look, it is a very odd thing to not right now in this meeting be thinking about what I'm having for lunch. But I'm not. And that is where I knew God was working in my life, because I never could figure out how to not be focused on how I look, what I'm going to eat, how I can feel different, and to just kind of be okay with who I am and how I am in a moments, there are moments, there are glimpses. That's why I know the higher power is working, and that's what I kind of, that's why I keep doing the work. But the truth, it was trusting a bunch of strangers to give me some helpful hints and a willingness to try something different outside of something I would normally do, because I'd have never thought it was hanging out and praying in the morning was a good plan for my day, right? I just never would have entered my mind. But I just do it, and things have changed. And it's an experience, Bianca. We got to have it our own, and it'll be your own if you haven't had it already. And you will have it. The steps promise it. It's pretty much a guarantee. I mean, it says we just got to be willing to do the work. And I wish I had more direct answer, Bianca, but okay. One step at a time, start the work. Okay. How about you, Ryan? We got another minute or two, Ryan.
Thanks, John. Great share. My question is, we often, especially me, we celebrate or, you know, despair when things happen and with food, you know, whether it's good or bad. How has that changed, like what you do after something, you know, exciting that normally you would have went and celebrated with food, or something bad that normally you would have, you know, went in despair and with food? Like, how is that, especially the celebration part and not doing food instead? Like, what, how's that changed for you?
That's a good question. It still is ever changing, I think, Ryan. There are certain, you know what I mean, as experiences come up and happen. I'll give the only example I can think of is, like, say New Year's Day or Super Bowl Day, when you're going to have a day where it's part of the celebration of the day or the celebration of birthdays. I don't eat cake at birthday anymore. I don't have a piece of birthday cake. I have a black bean brownie that's no sugar, not to be talking about something specific. Sorry if that hurts somebody, but I don't do cake. I don't do, you know what I mean? And at first it was hard. I was like, and now there's cake in the house. I just don't have it. There's a birthday cake. I don't have any of it. And that's been a gift too, that was given to me, because I'm not staring at it the whole night, watching it, seeing who cleaned their plate real good, how much is left of the cake, opening it three times to see how much is left. Maybe I can just shave off a little bit and get away with it. I'm not doing all that stuff that we do. It's been removed through the steps today. That doesn't mean that I don't have moments when I'm like, it's been a whole year, it's been another year, how about just a tiny slice? Those things certainly cross my mind, but it's been a gift that's been removed, because if I just take a couple deep breaths, it seems to lessen in the importance, and it's become less important to me to, it's just through the program 12 steps, it's become less important to me to celebrate with food than to just enjoy the moment as it is. And I write that every day at the end of my morning writing, when I do this called my 11th step work that I do in the morning, two-way prayer. Oh, thank you. I thank God every day for my freedom from food. And anytime of the day, I pause and ask for that same freedom, and it seems to be given. It's fantastic. Not perfect, but often enough to pursue. Hope that helped, Ryan. Okay, so my paper, let's see.